This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics. And over these many months, Joe has written columns, and we have spoken at length of Joe's columns about inflation, which you'll recall most recently was again regarded as transitory or temporary by the Federal Reserve speakers and by politicians on Capitol Hill of both parties and by the executive in the United States. That may be accurate. It's unknown to me. However, I observe there is news from Moscow of the central bank raising rates. There is move from Ankara of the central bank of Turkey raising rates, which is not something Mr. Erdogan welcomes, nor does Mr. Putin in Moscow. And now there's this. This is from the pink newspaper, the Financial Times, out of London. Bank of England confronts policy dilemma over inflation surge. Analysts expect to keep monetary policy unchanged, but await updated economic outlook. Joe, this story won't go away and it won't solve itself. What can we say now about what we're watching for? The Federal Reserve has a series of remarks that they make in August, but the next important meeting is in September. Is there room for the Federal Reserve to move early on its expectations that right now it's not seeking to raise rates for at least another year or more? But is there alarm enough in the world that the Federal Reserve will be obliged to change its mind?
Certainly I would argue that the Fed should be looking very seriously at moving much earlier than they have told markets that they will, because the inflation situation clearly is serious. It does not seem to be getting any better. If anything, it seems to be becoming even more entrenched, and this is creating a lot of economic problems within the U.S. But, you know, it's also important that you started this conversation talking about the situation here in the UK and then also some of these emerging economies like Russia or Turkey, because that highlights the extent to which we are living in a world where the central banks no longer coordinate policy with each other the way that they once did. And that creates a lot of difficulty if you're a policymaker in that environment. I mean, the situation here in the UK is that there is definitely very pronounced inflation going on. That seems to be creating all sorts of serious economic dislocations, although it's hard to understand sometimes exactly what those might be when you're in the moment. And yet a big constraint for the Bank of England is going to be that if the Fed is not normalizing policy in the U.S. despite inflation there, and if the European Central Bank is not making moves to normalize, you don't want to go first, because that's only going to trigger more hot money to come into your economy in search of a higher return here than they could get in the U.S. or the Eurozone. And that creates its own economic problem. So I think that the big issue that you face first off is the inflation itself. And second off, the fact that the central banks don't seem to be cooperating with each other about what they're going to do about it.
The opinion remains important here in the United States. And most recently, Christopher Waller, Federal Reserve governor and Fed voting member, important, he votes, commented that he believes that the inflation will cool off latter part of 2021. That is consistent from the Federal Reserve. So do we argue now that what's going on in Moscow, what's going on in Ankara are completely separate silos, that there are local or regional concerns that don't touch the U.S. I ask this, Joe, because there's a worldwide drought. There's great concern that the fires in Siberia and the fires in the U.S. are part of a climate change landscape. And we note that the price of wheat, the price of sugar, the price of oil, for heaven's sakes, but let's talk about what you can eat. Even the price of coffee is spiking because of drought, because of concerns about climate. Are those things something that can trouble Ankara and Moscow and not Washington? Are we separated from their consumption?
Well, I mean, it's definitely true that when it comes to inflation, economies are kind of like Tolstoy's families, where every unhappy inflationary economy is inflationary in its own way. So, you know, I think it's definitely true that the experience of inflation and the specific factors that might be causing it or might appear to be causing it in Russia or Turkey will be different from what you're seeing in the U.S. But the reality is that it's there. And I think that, you know, part of the problem that we're running into, which again, you get into when you hear these officials of the Fed constantly hammering on this notion that somehow this inflation is transitory, is, I mean, they feel that they have to say that for the sake of their credibility, because if they were to suggest that they think that it is not transitory, the obvious question becomes, why have they not done something about it? So you kind of have this weird chicken and egg situation, and yet that pushes them into a situation of repeatedly making these claims about how transitory this inflation is, which increasingly just look at odds with the experience of ordinary Americans when they go to the supermarket or the gas pump, or when they, you know, wander into the store to try to buy something. And so, you know, I think that we do have to kind of think about that credibility issue too. And the fact that, the central banks at some point have to talk about, like, you know, start talking as if they are living in the same world that the rest of us are inhabiting.
Let me read you the list from the Financial Times of what is experiencing inflation for consumer prices and what is not. Rental cars, they're out of sight. Gasoline, airline fares, public transport, women's dresses, sewing machines, men's trousers and shorts, all up, up sizably. This is June of 21, the earliest we have. The things that have declined are prescription drugs, health insurance, men's suits, and admission to sporting events, where there's not much admission whatsoever for the last year. So you would expect prices to go down. Men's suits, your generation just doesn't bother with suits. You're casual. And so I would expect that to moderate as well. But everything else is something we consume. I can add in food, and I add in business-to-business comments. This is from FT reporting on a Crate and Press juice bar. Joe Sparcio, the cost of all our produce went up. Strawberries, blackberries, almond milk, chicken went up threefold. For now, it's not a problem because the customers are paying more. But if that stops, there'll be a big problem. Is that unimportant, Joe, to what we're observing in July? Does the case make that strawberries, blackberries, and almond milk will decline in price come Christmas?
No, I don't think that you can believe that at all. And I mean, this is a really important part of this because, you know, part of the argument for why we shouldn't worry about the inflation and why it's transitory is that it's all related to these unique factors that might be pushing up prices for one particular good, but are not doing it for the economy overall. So, I mean, for used cars, is supposed to be the example of this because there's this chip shortage, which is making it difficult for companies to manufacture enough new cars. So that pushes up the cost of used cars. Well, yeah, right. You can always come up with one specific reason for why the price of a particular good seems to be going up right now that makes it seem manageable and temporary. But then you keep adding up all of those manageable and temporary sounding factors across such a wide range of goods and services, and it adds up to a big problem. And what was, you know, what's so striking about that list of things that you were ticking off just now is how they encompass so many different aspects of people's economic lives. I mean, if you want to travel somewhere, you're paying more for the air tickets or the rental car. If you want to clothe yourself, you're paying more for clothes. If you want to buy, you know, white goods or you know, appliances for your kitchen, you're paying more for that. And there's a specific reason for each of these things that might be different from the reason for other stuff. And, you know, yet we know that there's more of it coming because you also have the big consumer goods companies announcing already that they are going to be raising their prices over the next few months because their input costs are going up. It's costing them more to produce things, and they need to pass that on to consumers. So, you know, the point of all of this is that Yes, it's possible for economists to point to a specific factor that is causing the price of a specific good to go up, and then to try to extrapolate out from that why we shouldn't worry. But what's happening right now is that is multiplying across more and more and more parts of the economy, and it is becoming harder and harder for people to find things that they can consume that will not be affected by these price changes.
Politics. I just mentioned there's a headline, America's Recovery. This is London. Is Joe Biden's presidency vulnerable to inflation? Now, that is a question I don't even approach, but I do say that one way the FT interprets it is there's an opportunity for the extremely troubled Republican Party to say, we told you so. Now, that's what all parties out of power pay attention to. But as of yet, the White House is going along with the idea of temporary. That can change in an afternoon. Do you agree, Joe?
Yes, and I think that politically they might find that it does need to change because, you know, the other important factor of this is, you know, when you talk about inflation, economists have a surprising amount of trouble measuring it. So there's an important sense in which the data don't even really tell us what households' experiences of inflation are, because, you know, the government statisticians are kind of making assumptions about what they think we are consuming and how much of it, and therefore how these price changes affect us. But the real thing that politicians have to worry about is that individual voters and households know how these things are affecting the household budget. They know how the gas prices are hitting them. They know how food prices are making it harder for them to feed families if you're on a budget. They know how the rising costs of clothing or other things are affecting them. And they will eventually, you know, potentially vote accordingly. And so from that perspective, one thing that's interesting here is the extent to which some of these discussions about the data might actually, I mean, as bad as the data are, they might be giving the politicians a false sense of security if they don't really reflect what the voters are experiencing now and how that experience is going to affect how they vote in the midterm next year.
Just checking on the shopping in London. The last time we spoke, you make dashes every once in a while into the grocery store to see if there's milk on the shelves. Has there been any change in the presentation by your grocer about items that are or are not available?
Yeah, there's no milk now in my local supermarket. I was there yesterday. There isn't whole milk. There isn't skim milk. There isn't fancy organic milk. There's even barely any almond milk at this point. And I think that here it is because they do have these strange supply chain issues. Partly it's related to a shortage of truck drivers. Partly it's because of this issue with the NHS COVID test and trace app telling many people who work in these supply chains they need to self-isolate for 10 days. So there just aren't enough workers to drive the trucks that drive the milk around the country, and then there aren't enough workers to put it from the truck onto the shelf. But, you know, that, again, is a political issue because people have a very reasonable expectation that when you go into the supermarket, you will be able to buy food. And so I think that an interesting political problem that's emerging here in the UK is to the extent that that is not happening right now. I think the government really needs to think long and hard about what they can do to make sure that it does.
Joe, I mentioned quickly, because since we talked, I spoke with Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is experiencing the same what is called supply chain inflation. In a sporting goods store, there's a shortage of Steeler jerseys for the upcoming season. In a cafe, a popular cafe, there's shortage of everything because he cannot get $1,000 worth of drinks. They only have $100. And the explanation is they don't have the workers out there in the supply chain to load from the dock to the truck, from the truck to the dock, and then to the wholesalers for mornings. So we're watching cafes have to find workarounds for their menus. We're watching sports shows have sports dealers having to sell you an Eagles jersey instead of a Steelers jersey. And you know, that's profound, Joe. So supply chain inflation is part of the larger story And it's part of the labor story. And what you're testifying to, and I'll pass it on to Pittsburgh when I talk, is that the same phenomena we see in Penn Avenue in the strip of Pittsburgh, you see in posh London.
Absolutely. It is a global phenomenon, which is another sign that policymakers at central banks and elsewhere should be worried about this, because if these were sort of one-off transitory factors, you would expect also that it would be kind of isolated and that otherwise the global economy would be successfully adjusting and doing what the global economy does, which is to allocate resources and goods and services where they're needed. We should be really worried that that does not seem to be functioning right now. That is a sign that something is going wrong that policymakers and voters need to be mindful about.
Yes, and if you close the stadiums, admission tickets will go down. Yes, we agree on that. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. When we come back, London Live, back to the office, question mark, back to the park, question mark. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.